This is the Draft Prospect Review podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, April 15th here at Gillette Stadium, tax day. And a Wednesday, which means it's time for another Draft Prospect Review, where each and every week we
preview
the prospects for the NFL Draft. Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, and
Good
Paul Perillo with you here. Cornerbacks and safeties on tap today, and there are a lot of cornerbacks to talk about, as many as 35 projected to be drafted, according to NFL Draft Scout. So this, I would say, along with wide receiver, among the deeper positions of the draft. But, guys, does it have the star power or ability at the top of some of the other positions? What do you guys think?
Just past the top, I think it does. At the very top, I don't think it does. And that's kind of covering all my bases. But I don't think there is an elite cornerback in this group. Obviously, Malcolm Jenkins is considered the top of the class. But I think there are a lot of starting caliber NFL corners that are going to go first round, early second. I think it's a very physical class, and I like that in corners.
I do, too.
I think a lot of those guys are physical, a lot of zone corners, a lot of zone in the NFL. So I think you're going to get a lot of good corners, but maybe not great ones.
And the other thing I think is interesting is that there are a lot of players who are considered tweeners. They're not sure if they're corners or safeties, or in some cases they're guys who have played both corner and safety. So you have good value there with either a guy who has that proven versatility, or a guy who maybe, depending on your system, you may want to play one position or the other. So, like Andy said, at the very top, it's probably not all that full of star power. But just, you know, maybe second round, top of the second round, is when you start to get into some value, though.
I just don't think you have any of those top. I mean, we've had a lot of years where corners and or safeties have gone in the top 10 right around there. And then, you know, there's been filled in afterwards. I don't think there's any of those guys this year. Certainly not safety. Safety's a down year. We're not getting the Laron Landry types that are going to go in the top 10. But cornerback, again, good, not great.
Yeah, it could be as many as five or six first-rounders, maybe as few as two.
Right.
At the top of most everyone's list is Malcolm Jenkins from Ohio State. We all like him a lot. He's one of the guys Eric talked about, though. Some people wonder if maybe he's going to be a safety at the next level. I didn't really see that. I mean, I know that sometimes the straight-line speed can really sway these things in terms of the scouts back and forth, but I really liked what I saw on tape. Vontae Davis is a guy who just absolutely oozes athleticism in my mind. Kid out of Illinois, and Vernon Davis's younger brother, tight end from San Francisco. I really like both of those guys. Darius Butler, a local guy here from UConn. We call him local, even though it's UConn. It's not really
New England,
not really Massachusetts, but really shooting up the charts. And he's kind of like a possible second-round pick for a while, and now a lot of people think he may even sneak into the first round. And also DJ Moore, Alphonso Smith, Sean Smith from Utah. Which of these guys do you stand out among? What's there? About six guys there. Which ones are the guys that you like the most?
I think there are two that I really like out of that group. DJ Moore, who you mentioned from Vanderbilt, and UConn, Darius Butler. One of the reasons I think he's sliding up into the first round or the bottom of the first round potentially is because UConn had their pro day recently, and seven members of the Patriots coaching staff and personnel, including Bill Belichick, were on hand. And so some people are trying to connect the dots and say that he had a lot of interest in Butler, and he very, very well may have. But looking at his tape, you can see why. He's another one of these very athletic guys who can play more than one position, even played a little bit on offense if need be. So I think he's an intriguing prospect, and same with DJ Moore. They're a little bit on the smaller side compared to Davis and Jenkins, but certainly have the ability to play a variety of positions. And as we know on this team, that's one of the things that helps players make the team, is that they're able to do more than one thing.
I'm a Vontae Davis guy. I think he's the best corner in the draft. I think he has all the physical tools. It seems like he's being hurt by attachment to his brother, who, like Vontae, wowed everybody at the combine, ended up being, I think, the sixth pick to San Francisco, and has never lived up to his physical abilities out there. Obviously, the famous rant from Mike Singletary last fall, kicking him off the field.
Right.
And there's some questions, I think, about Davis's work ethic and maturity, and all those were answered for me at the combine, just face-to-face, and sort of how he said it, how he handled all those questions. He was actually benched for a time by Ron Zook last year, and I think that hurts him. But I just think he makes plays on the field. He has the measurables. He's a 4-4 guy in a draft that has a lot of 4-5 corners. He's not 5'9 like a lot of these corners are. He's 5'11, which to me is tall enough. There's not a lot of 6-foot corners that go around. I think he's the total package. I don't know where he's going because early on it seemed like he was a top 15 potential pick. Now all of a sudden he's slipping down. He's a late first. He's a guy that if he's available at 23 and I'm the Patriots, I really have to consider because I think he might be, I think he might end up being the best corner in the draft when all is said and done.
Yeah, I really like DJ Moore as well, and he's slipping down a little bit, and I think Davis might be creeping up a little bit, and it's kind of interesting the way these guys rise and fall in the weeks leading up to the draft without having really done much of anything. I mean, at this point, the combine's well over. Most of the pro days are long over. There's still some meetings going on, and there's still meeting people here in Foxborough on a daily basis. But I find that element of the draft somewhat interesting. Every year it happens. Guys start rising and falling as we hit April. And there's really not a whole lot to do.
We don't really know if they're rising or falling.
I'm just saying in the minds of these draft guys. I mean, wherever they get taken, to me, there's no such thing as rising and falling almost because – where the guys end up getting drafted, they're the only ones that know. The NFL personnel people are the only ones
right.
that know.
I think there are guys that legitimately rise and fall. I just don't think we ever really know about it because most NFL teams don't put it out
that's
there.
That's my point.
I think all teams change their draft board right up to the draft, and there are guys that probably move up, you know, 5-6 spots at any one point, but we never know about it.
And we know one thing's for sure, though. On draft day, there will be someone who, a player who everyone expected was going to be drafted by middle of the round, later in the round, and all of a sudden he'll be available in the second round.
Right, but my point is like us expects
something, but what
the NFL teams are expecting, they don't generally, like Andy pointed out, they don't generally share that, so we don't know.
But I'm saying it's funny to contrast what people think before the draft, who's rising and falling, and then what actually happens on draft day. And people are often shocked by somebody who slipped or somebody who rose up and was taken a lot higher than they expected.
Well, we mentioned how deep this cornerback class was, and that's pretty much the top of the list. Moving further on down, maybe into round 3 or 4, guys, what are the middle-round guys that jumped off the page for you? Anybody in particular?
I liked Sean Smith, even though I know, Paul, you didn't really like him.
Well, he could be a first-round pick.
He could be, but I think in some of the mocks I've seen, he's not as frequently seen in the top part of the draft, but and he's another one of those guys who corner or safety, not quite sure where he's going to be. I liked Victor Macho Harris from Virginia Tech.
I like Macho.
And Captain Munerlin from South Carolina.
I think Macho's going to be a safety, Andy.
I think he's a corner.
I think he's going to be a good player.
I'm not sold on him. Munerlin, I kind of like.
Munerlin and Asher,
cover guy.
Asher Allen from Georgia, I kind of like. You know, third round, fourth round kind of guys, not stars, at least not initially, but I agree with Eric on those guys.
That Asher Allen guy is a weird guy. Sometimes he looks fast, sometimes he doesn't. And he timed 4-5 at the combine. Then on his pro day, on what was supposedly the same surface, he ran a 4-3 something. So I don't really know where his speed is and why it seems to come and go both on the field and in shorts, but... You know, that scares me a little bit. The guy I actually liked based on his tape was Keenan Lewis out of Oregon State. 6'1", 205, so a little bit bigger. Taking the Fred Kirsch route, he's a guy who started 45 games for them, which, you know, you like to have the experienced guy especially. The one question I would have is they're in a lot of man coverage, and that doesn't really fly in the NFL all that often, especially here. You're going to be running a lot of zone, so I don't know how they would project his skills into zone coverage, but just pure skills, I liked him.
What I liked about him is I thought he looked good out in space. He didn't need to have a lot of congestion around to help him make plays, and I thought he was an interesting guy. And you mentioned his size, but I thought he moved really well.
He did.
For that size.
But it's easier to just run with a guy.
He might be a safety because of that size, but at the same time, I was impressed with that whole...
But I don't even know if he can transition to safety because he spent so much of his career just running with a guy.
That's true,
safety, too. Safety, you have to be able to play zone coverages, read offenses, and kind of work in space, and he's just so used to running
with a
guy.
That's a good point.
The other one, a challenge.
Another one I liked was the kid from the small school, Jackson State, Dominique Johnson, who's also pretty good size. He looked very like he was always around the ball and seemed to have some good versatility either to play safety or corner.
Ridiculous athleticism.
Yeah. So
a bit of a faller.
Has he been falling?
Struggled a little bit at Senior Bowl, was kind of up and down, would make a play, and then would struggle for a few plays. So he's a guy that I think has fallen a little bit at this point as a small school guy? Because early on, people wanted to try to make the Dominic Rogers-Cromartie comparisons.
Just to illustrate
that.
Just to illustrate your point, Andy, when I did my original rankings here off of NFL Draft Scout, he was the third-round pick. Now he's listed as a seventh-round possible free agent.
Yeah, he's
so
a guy that
shows you how
hasn't
much
been
he
able
dropping.
To. He had some early buzz and momentum and hasn't really been able to capitalize on it. If we're going to move down a little bit further, Paul Perillo.
Yes, why don't we?
A guy that I really like out of a school that produced a cornerback that Patriots fans really liked, Central Florida, young Joe Burnett, 5'9", 192, yep. So not real big, undersized, but I thought he was phenomenal.
Isn't it funny how much he looked like Asante, just how aggressive
everything,
he was?
Aggressive, physical, productive, had 16 picks in his career there. He's a zone guy. I'm not sure he has elite football speed, but you know what? Asante Samuel doesn't have elite football
speed.
Good
hands and ball skills. And
I'm
a big
fan.
I like that in my corner.
He's projected as a sixth-round pick, and if I
get
him in the sixth round, I'd love to see him in training camp and see what he can do. I think he's a playmaker.
Before we move on to safeties, Eric, any real late guys that you think might be sleepers?
I'm intrigued by Kerry Harris of USC.
Not bad.
But I think he might have had an injury problem at USC's pro day. I think he pulled up lame on a hamstring.
He's had a number
running
of
the 40.
But hamstring, shoulder,
yeah.
Both ankle surgeries.
But I liked what I saw, the little I saw of him on tape. I thought he was kind of an intriguing prospect, so I'm going to keep an eye out for him.
All right, well, let's get to some of these safeties. Andy hit it, I think, right on the head off the top when we started talking about cornerbacks. There are a lot of safeties, I think, that can play, but there are no stars at this position.
Right.
There are no all-around Ed Reed, Laron Landry, guys that are going to, you know, Michael Huff, Michael Griffin, that are going to make you take them in the top half of the first round. There may not be one in the first round at all. As a matter of fact, my guess
probably
is there
won't be.
But I guess, you know, according to most of these rankings, there's a couple of strong safeties that might be a little bit higher regarded than free safety types. Patrick Chung and William Moore. I guess we'll throw Louis Delmas in there from Western Michigan as well. I don't know. I really liked William Moore on tape from the kid from Missouri. I thought he did pretty much everything well.
Reminded me of Rodney Harrison in his style of play. Good form tackler. Always seemed to be reading the quarterback's eyes very well. Had good hands. Blitz as well. I was very impressed with his tape.
I liked him. I thought he was impressive. I think he's a better athlete than Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's faster. But he certainly makes plays and certainly did a lot of different things in terms of hitting. I think he had a couple pick six that I saw. Different things where he showed versatility from a safety. Probably, you know, Bill Belichick, left and right safety, not free and strong, you know, could put him to use in a variety of ways. So I liked him. I think he's a good playmaker.
The
good
comparison I agree with Eric about with Rodney is I saw him play deep center field. I saw him covering underneath. I saw him playing around the line of scrimmage. I saw him blitzing. You know, kind of things that Rodney does. Good all-around safety. I agree with Andy. I think this guy, you know, and it's hard for Rodney. We're seeing Rodney now 15 years into his career.
17 injuries into his career.
You know, but the athleticism, I would say, yeah, William Moore. I didn't really like Patrick Chung very much out of Oregon. I don't know how you guys felt about him. He's, by most accounts, the highest-rated safety.
Yeah, I thought he was okay. I thought he was a good college player. I'm not sure how that's going to translate in the pros, though. Another guy I did like, though, Paul, was you mentioned Delmas, but Darcell McBath.
Darcell McBath, again.
Who just seemed to have interceptions on every play.
When we first started doing the rankings and, you know, doing some of the stuff for Patriots Today, I had him as a sleeper because NFL Draft Scout had him as a sixth or seventh round draft pick. Today, I just printed out the most up-to-date rankings. He's listed as a second or third rounder. I mean, that's an enormous jump up the boards. I really liked him a lot. I thought him and the kid from Mississippi State, is it Pegues, Derek Pegues, is that how he pronounces his name?
Now, he's the opposite direction.
But
he's now a sixth or a seventh round
he's
pick.
He's going the other, maybe they switch spots, but Pegues
there
was
a little confusion as to who they were.
He was originally a third round pick, and now they're calling him a sixth or seventh. I liked both of those guys a lot, McBath and Pegues.
Well, Pegues is one of those guys that gets hurt by the numbers. He ran a plus 4.6 time, and as a defensive back, you start putting those numbers next to your name, and your stock will fall. So I thought he was okay. I actually thought he was faster than his 40 time.
I did, too. As a matter of fact, I wrote that on my comments.
I thought he plays. He's a former cornerback who plays a little bit like a former cornerback.
A lot of return.
Not overly physical. Like he'll mix it up a little bit, but not a hard-hitting physical safety. You know, sometimes you get into that whole tweener safety linebacker mold. He's not that. He's tweener safety corner. I thought he was fine. You know, I thought a lot of these safeties were good, kind of where they're falling in the draft. None of them stood out. None of them were, like, overly great impact players. But I think you can get some solid football players out of here, and we know Bill will take one because these safeties, linebackers, tight ends, that's how he also stocks up his on his special teams players. So, you know, some of these guys that are quote-unquote average could find their way. I really like Troy Nolan, the kid out of Arizona State.
So did I.
Another guy I thought played fast in his 40. He's a 4'6", 40 yep. guy. But he's a big play guy.
And
good
always,
ball skills, always yeah. around the ball, knack for getting in the way. I just thought a guy that I really liked.
He was another guy I made the comment that I thought he played faster than his
yeah.
time
mm-hmm.
indicated.
Well, they're all 4'6 guys that yeah. don't look like they're running 4'6s out there.
He always,
if I can't tell he's a 4'6, then it doesn't matter to me.
He always seemed to be in the right place at the right time.
I would agree.
And, you know, sometimes that has a little bit to do with luck, but it also, I think, it speaks to how well you know your assignment. And that you're in the right place at the right time.
What's
to
that
make
saying?
Those
luck is preparation meeting something? Or I don't know. But it's preparation is involved with luck. You make your own luck, and Troy Nolan does.
He can turn a phrase at Andy Hart, can't he?
He really can. He really can.
I was going to babble on like you do as when we put this up on the website. But
I would say that, you know, one of the traits I found almost all of these guys had some ability with the ball in their hands.
Yes.
A lot of these safeties had return ability.
Yep. Yep. A lot of just DBs in general are returners.
Yeah.
Safeties and corners.
But and not only that, they worked to get the ball.
Of the world.
Some of them played offense. Some of them had return ability, like Andy said. And some of them also, on their interceptions, show great open field running ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
great athletes overall.
Yeah. So that kind of belied the speed angle. And it looks like all of these guys are kind of being weighted down a little bit because their straight line time speed isn't the greatest, but it looks like they have pretty good football speed.
I could care less about the straight line speed if on film or on the field I see a guy who can run around. Football speed is what we like to call it. And a lot of these guys have that. Even
is that
though,
what you like to call it?
Well, that's what I like to call it.
Is that what the kickers call it?
I was using the royal way there. But if a guy can run around on the field and make plays, there's a difference between straight line speed and football speed. You know, Chad Jackson, I think, was one of those guys who had good straight line speed.
Right.
But didn't seem to really be all that fast when he was out on the field.
Trouble is, you're projecting them to cover tight ends like Ben Watson that can make athletic plays and do some things that, you know, maybe those instincts, skills, preparation don't get them quite as far at the next level. One guy I wanted to touch on, Eric, you're our resident Johnson expert. What do you think of Rashad Johnson out of Alabama? Because obviously we know the Nick Saban connection.
Yep.
I believe he's a former walk-on player, mm-hmm. considered a coach on the field, and he's a coach on the field coming from a system that has obvious similarities to the Patriots system. He's a guy that third-round pick. Patriots have
yep.
a lot of picks before the third. You see what I'm doing?
I see. Certainly see what you're doing. He reminded me a little bit of Brandon Merriweather, only with better hands.
Like Brandon Merriweather.
No, but
two-time captain at Alabama.
Yeah,
very
yeah,
rare.
Very,
occurrence.
Very rare.
Cerebral assassin,
yep.
I'll call him.
Leadership skills. Like you mentioned, the pipeline connection with Nick Saban. I think it's a legitimate possibility.
I
liked his tape.
And again, we're not talking about a normal second or third round pick in this draft. When you know that's a position where they need depth. There's not a lot of great safeties, but there's some decent safeties. You have the picks. All that might marry together for a nice selection early in the third round there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
like that idea. I like that idea. I also liked in that same area, second or third round, Emmanuel Cook from South Carolina. A little bit smaller than, you know, what you might like in a safety, but hard hitter, good tackler, and seemed to be another one of these guys who always just seemed to be around the ball making plays. So I think that's another possibility in mid-rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cook, too. And, you know, there's a kid from USC, Ellison, that I liked. I thought he really physically played a lot like Rodney as well. He's, you know, I think he's a step slower than even some of these other
Rodney.
Guys. Well, some of these other guys that we're talking about, I think that's why.
Yeah, he's a 4'8 guy.
Yeah, I also like the kid from Clemson, Chris Clemens,
yep. Yep.
Who he just seemed to me I think he's one of those guys that, you know, he's a little like James Sanders. I think he would look better if you had him in your system and you were able to work with him than he is going to in any kind of a pro day or combine setting. Not a pure athlete like some of these other guys, but I like some of the things that I saw him do.
Good instincts on the field.
I didn't
field,
like
though.
Him.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's disrespectful to James Sanders.
Ian and I already oh, please knock it off. All right, so we hit a lot of sleepers there for the safeties, the corners. I think we all agree that there were some good cornerbacks, but I don't really think there were great cornerbacks. So it might be a second round, you know, with 3 second round picks, that might be a position to really keep an eye on, depending on how many of these guys slip out of the first round. Like I said, it could be as few as 2 first-round picks, as many as 6. If you get 6, chances are the Patriots aren't going to get 1 in the second round. But if you get 2, then I think there's a pretty good player there to be had.
And you would think that this is a year where they might not necessarily have to reach for a corner in the first round or high up, because they did make some offseason acquisitions. And hopefully the 2 rookies from last year who had a lot of playing time, Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite, will continue to develop. And so there'll be some competition, and that position will be a little bit better than it was going into last season.
All right, we'll put a wrap on this draft podcast. Again, keep your eye out on Patriots.com for the prospect database, which is up every day. Today it's going to be offensive linemen, where Andy, Eric, and I, well, actually Eric, and then Andy and I get the scraps, get to comment on
angry,
the players.
Angry young men here.
We'll have those up there on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Again, reminder, on draft weekend, on Saturday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., PFW in progress. Again, on Sunday from noon to 3 for Andy, Eric, and I.
Peace out.
Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.